Tonight, it's New Music Monday as Almond and Olive perform live in studio. Then later, we'll check in with James Vickery and Paul Farvar. And finally, we'll discuss an important event with the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Ah, it's Monday. Monday, October 4th. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. The green room is full. It's always exciting on Monday night. You have the bands on Justin Kaufman's show packing up. We have the bands that we're going to have on at midnight, you know, unpacking, getting ready to go. So I love Mondays. There's a great energy. I mean, I know that's weird to say out loud, Esmeralda, isn't it? I love Mondays because it's such a conflict of ideas.
You're making it better.
I'm trying to. Well, especially because we slide into Tuesdays. That's not really a good verb, is it? Sliding into Tuesdays? Easing into
Tuesdays.
There you
go.
I like that better.
You make it better.
And your Monday starts on Sunday. We don't have to go down this rabbit hole.
So I'm already like midweek.
Yeah,
it's almost Thursday for me.
You're gliding into the weekend. See, these are all the verbs that we can use. How was your weekend?
It was very nice. It filled in for Dave Plyer Sunday morning with John Hansen, and that was lovely. And then I was on TV with him, too.
You were?
Yeah, if you want to go on my Facebook, he linked me to it. He does You and Me in the Morning.
Right.
And I just so happened to be walking down the street, and he had me on some new game show he's trying to play that we sit on a couch, and he asked me a couple questions, and then I win things.
Did you win?
Or I won a prize from the couch. It was some change.
You want some change?
Yes.
Oh, so from inside the couch?
Yes, from
so
the
he
couch.
Digs, is it
from
his,
the couch cushions.
Is it his couch?
I believe so, yes. Oh. Yeah, so he'll be doing that, I think. I think it was a hit.
Okay.
Well, but my little thing is on, if you're a Facebook friend of mine, it's on there.
You can link to it on Esmeralda's Facebook page.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So
I like that.
Now I'm like, I'm on TV.
Yay.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Yesterday was busy. We had the JDRF One Walk yesterday, and I was hosting at Montrose Harbor. It was so much fun. So many great people. I met Ron Santo Jr., who was really charming and very nice. I met this guy named Ken, who I believe we're going to have as a guest in the next few weeks. He's a speed skater and trains with – he said there's only 3,000 speed skaters in the country. So it's one of those sports that you can join, and basically at some point during your training, if you put yourself in the right place at the right time, you can train with Olympians. He has trained with Sean Davis, with Bonnie Blair. He said there's only two Olympic-sized rinks in the country, one in Utah and one in Milwaukee. So I'm kind of curious about it. I mean, it sounds like if you're looking for a sport for your kid, maybe speed, not that I'm not saying because you want them to go to the Olympics, but it's kind of this where you, in something maybe you haven't thought of. It's an individual sport, which is always good for building confidence. And he didn't start until he was 27.
So, oh, wow.
So it's kind of a couple things at once because you get to a certain age and you think, I can't do that thing that I always thought about doing ever.
I can get to wear a speed suit.
Well, I don't know if I want to do that.
It's a head to toe thing. It's like a
Lycra onesie.
Yep.
It shows a lot of, you have to be training for a while in speed skating before you want to slip into one of those.
Yeah, but you'll look good.
Once you've done the training. That's true. I was, so that was in the morning. We did the JDRF One Walk, and thank you to everyone who came out and showed their support and walked and raised money for type 1 diabetes, trying to turn type 1 into type none. So many kids that were out there walking for their friends, too. Everybody was just having a blast. We also went to the, and I should have told you about this, Esmeralda, and I realized when I was sitting there, I'm like, how did I not come with Esmeralda? It was a last-minute decision to go see the Cat Video Fest at Music Box.
Right. I saw the pictures of you snuggling with kitties.
Yes. But it was, you know, all those online videos that everybody loves, you know, the kitten on the, you know, the, what's the robotic vacuum cleaner?
Oh, on the Roomba.
But it's like, it was 70 minutes of cat videos. It was hysterical.
Oh.
And on a big screen.
Is it just a lot of ahs?
Yeah. Well, and there was a great introduction by this guy who writes Henri Noir, these cat videos, and he has a book about Henri, and he was talking about the Cat Video Fest in Minnesota. They sell out stadiums. It's so big. It's like they're Woodstock. 10,000 people show up to these events.
It's so awesome.
More than 10,000. It's crazy. And it was a packed theater. So much fun. And then we went to Blue Man Group. yesterday.
You were very busy.
It was very busy yesterday. But it was an autism-friendly show, and we brought my son Declan and my son Griffin. And Declan really, like, he didn't want to sit in his seat. He actually wanted to get up on stage, which is not encouraged for audience members. But they, because it was an autism-friendly show, it was cool. They let him run up to the stage and, like, put his hands on the speaker because he loved the vibrations. There were, the place was sold out. So I want to thank everyone who showed up yesterday for the Blue Man Group autism-friendly show. Very fun. We have actually another important segment coming up right after this. We are checking with our friends from the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation in a few seconds. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is someone I met in a very unique way, and we were talking about it in the green room, and she says she often meets people in this manner. Lauren Harmon joins me, and we met at a funeral.
Yes, we did.
Come closer to your microphone. Just scooch in there. Get all the way up in that microphone.
All
there,
the way up.
There it is. Yeah, we met at, we actually were, it was a funeral for my dad's best friend's wife. My dad and Desi O'Neill had been friends since childhood, and Faye O'Neill had actually was someone that I had known since I was a little girl, and so it was interesting to kind of go someplace where I lost someone who was significant in my life and meet someone and become friends with someone new. It was there's something kind of beautiful about that.
Absolutely.
And we struck up a conversation, and we've become friends on Facebook. And you contacted me about something that's very important to you, about someone that was very important in your life and dear to you. So tell me a little bit about the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation.
Well, the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation is an organization that's here in Chicago, but it's a global foundation. And the foundation was started in 2000, and the mission of the foundation is to help find a treatment and a cure for pulmonary fibrosis, which is a rare, devastating lung disease. They fund research. They provide disease awareness, community intervention, and support, most importantly, support for patients and families that are dealing with the disease. And pulmonary fibrosis is a rare lung disease that my father was diagnosed with in 2010. I had never heard of pulmonary fibrosis. It was an arcane medical term when I first heard about it, and it ended up turning my world upside down.
And when your father was diagnosed, how did they explain it to him and to you? Were you with him?
I was not with him for the initial diagnosis, but I was at every doctor's appointment with him thereafter. My mom and I went to all of his appointments with him. My dad's name is Leo Harmon. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms that are most common at the onset of the disease are a dry hacking cough, shortness of breath, weight loss, and fatigue. And my dad had this dry, hacky cough probably for 6 months, and he was a guy that didn't go to doctors very often. And so we think that he probably was suffering from the disease for a little bit longer.
Well, and our dads, we have also Senator Don Harmon in the studio with us. Hey, Don. Senator,
Hi, how are you?
I have to call you Senator.
I can't
do it. I know that you, as a senator, and now also as a family member, of course, to someone who has dealt with pulmonary fibrosis, had either one of you heard of pulmonary fibrosis before this diagnosis?
If I had heard it, I didn't recall it because it hadn't touched our family until Uncle Leo was diagnosed with it.
And because I was going to say, our dads, I'm guessing, are of that generation of kind of, I'm tough, I don't need to bother with a doctor. And that's, it can be very, because you're always going to feel like, what if we'd gone sooner, right? There's always going to be that. But we also know that our dads are who they are, right? Or the family members. And that's a hard thing to let go of. And what I think you're doing, both of you, of bringing attention and awareness is helping families, you know, ease that to get in front of it. Right.
Absolutely. And Don lost his dad. Don's dad and my dad are brothers. And Don lost his dad when he was 10 years old. And so my dad was kind of the surrogate father for most of our extended family. And he played a big part in everyone's lives.
Right.
And it was just devastating. He was such a larger than life figure. And it was really hard to watch such a strong person slowly kind of disappear before you.
How long did he battle with pulmonary fibrosis?
He was diagnosed in 2010 and died in April of 2013. And that is about the life expectancy of a patient that's diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis is on average 3 years.
And had you now, because the reason I asked as a senator, because you have a lot of people come to you with different groups and organizations. Is this something that you are helping? I mean, I'm guessing as being a part of the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation is something that this is what we do when we lose somebody. We try to figure out ways to at least many people, you know, now they're informed. They want to know how they can either be involved or make sure other people have information. Is that something that you're able to do as a senator?
Well, I wish that there were more we could do through the legislative process. What we can do is try to call attention to the disease and to heighten awareness. We've, the last couple of years, passed resolutions through the Senate recognizing September as Global Pulmonary Fibrosis Awareness Month.
And that is important because, as you mentioned, it's not even something that you had ever heard of. And the more people, because especially even if it's just when you get that information, when you're in the doctor's office or they're running tests and we want to rule this out or we suspect this, people can be armed. I mean, that's one of the things I think is important as a patient, as caregivers, is to feel like you are well equipped with what's out there. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
And what do you want people to know about the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation?
They're an amazing organization, and the thing that is so dear to my heart, and I discovered the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation and my dear friend Jennifer Bulander, who's here with us today, very late in my dad's diagnosis and his illness.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I like about the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation is most of the people involved with the organization, including the president and CEO, Patty Toomey, are involved with the organization because they have been affected by the disease. Most people that work there have lost a family member to the disease. And the thing that has changed, I think, significantly over the years is social media.
Right.
When my dad was diagnosed, I didn't have a smartphone. I wasn't on Facebook. And I really had no way to connect with all the resources that are out there, especially through the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. And that's what I think has changed significantly just over the last couple of years, is the connection that people have through social media, especially Facebook. It's a very lonely, isolating disease. And it's interesting, although it's considered a rare disease, since my dad was diagnosed with it, I know just in the work that I do, five colleagues of mine at work have family members that are either battling the disease now or have lost their battle to the disease.
And you mentioned social media, and I think that is a great way for people to connect, to get more information. What are some of the social media places they can go? Do we have... Here, I'm going to turn your microphone on, Johnny. Jennifer, you didn't want to talk tonight.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yes, the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation is on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us at PFFORG.
And I think that's important whether someone is battling it or suspects or, you know, because... I'll go ahead and be very upfront. We recorded a segment with Dr. David Lederer, who is the co-director of... how do you pronounce it?
Interstitial lung disease.
See, I can't pronounce it because I've only heard it twice today.
You're gonna have a mindset for it now.
Say it again for me.
Interstitial lung disease.
Interstitial lung disease. And some of the things that I talked to him about that we'll hear in just a little bit are, what the symptoms are, what the risks are, and things like that. But what do you want people to know about finding out and being aware of pulmonary fibrosis?
Go to a doctor if you have any of the symptoms that we discussed, and reach out if you are a patient or a caregiver. That's one thing that the disease, it doesn't just affect the patient. It's devastating to the family members and especially the caregivers. My mom was my dad's primary caregiver, and 2 weeks after he passed away, she suffered a massive stroke.
Oh.
And I truly believe that the stroke was caused by the stress of dealing with the illness. So it doesn't just affect patients, it affects family members. Until recently, when my dad was diagnosed, there was no treatment at all. There still is no cure. There are a few drugs that have just in the past year or so been approved by the FDA, which does help. But I think reaching out, and Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation has support groups all over the country. There's a support group that I know of right now in the United Kingdom. My friend Maureen Ingle is a pulmonary fibrosis patient in just outside of London who's waiting for a lung transplant. And she's just got involved with a support group, and we've connected through, again, social media.
Yeah, and that has to be hard news to hear when you find out that the treatments are limited, that they haven't made as much progress when you first get that information, because we are so unfamiliar with the term pulmonary fibrosis. Here's something else. Tell us a little bit more about your dad, because you showed me his headshot and his resume as an actor. Where did your dad grow up?
My dad was a larger than life figure. So Don and I, Senator Don Harmon, Senator, our cousins, our fathers or brothers. Don lost his dad at an early age. There were six siblings. They grew up on the west side of the city, mm-hmm. in the Austin area. Went to Our Lady Help of Christians. Our dads went to St. Ignatius High School and Georgetown University.
Wow.
Came back to Chicago. Something that people might know about is the CYO, the Catholic Youth Organization, mm-hmm. is a sports organization that was actually started in the basement of our father's house on the west side. Our grandfather, Jim Harmon, Bishop Scheel, and Judge Campbell started the organization to keep kids off of the street by boxing, and it actually started in the basement
on
Iowa Street. And then my mom and dad met when they were about 15 in a talent show with Bob Newhart, who was in their group.
At St. Ignatius?
No, this was on the west side. This was on the west side.
Okay.
And Bob Newhart, everybody knows how that story went.
Sure.
My mom and dad used to laugh and say, everybody would say, oh, Bob, sit down, because he would do the same stand-up routine at every show they were at. And, of course, he went on and is doing great things.
Yeah.
But my dad did continue his career as a local actor. He performed on theaters all over the city of Chicago, from the Court Theater at the University of Chicago, Shattered Globe.
Wow.
Doug McDade, who is the director of Shattered Globe, dedicated a performance to my dad when he passed away. He performed at the Bailiwick. Starlight, Candlelight, every light you can think of. He loved music, Broadway.
And crowds, audiences.
And crowds.
Yeah.
He loved to perform. He loved to entertain an audience.
Was he like that at home, too? Was when you were around him, Senator, that just liked to entertain and make people happy?
Always a storyteller.
Yeah.
And you couldn't pry him away from the piano at any holiday gathering. He'd sing mostly in key, not that the rest of the Harmons could keep up.
No, mostly off key, actually. My mom played the piano, and my dad would sing very off key.
Oh, really?
Which I'm amazed, because Senator Don Harmon and his son are real musicians. They have a band that they play in, and they just performed at Fitzgerald's on Thursday, and I was amazed.
I'm sorry I missed that.
I was amazed, actually, at the quality of their voices compared to my dad. Could not carry a tune as hard as he tried.
Well, those of us who can't sing, enjoy those who can. How long have you been a senator?
Finishing my 14th year, which is hard for me to believe.
Wow! And what did your uncle think about that? What did Uncle Leo think of you being a politician?
Well, I think he liked it.
Yeah,
and he was just a wonderful guy. And you know, there's a proud tradition of political observation in the family. I'm the mm-hmm. first one, I think, perhaps since
that stopped observing and jumped in.
By our grandfather, who allegedly ran for alderman on the west side a million years ago, though I can find absolutely no documentation.
But he apparently didn't win.
Well, it would be perfectly consistent with the Harmon tradition of making up the family lore, so it works out well.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
My father was so proud of Don. He was so proud of him and all of our family members, but especially Don, because he has done some great things working on doing great things for the state.
I'm sure he's proud of you as well.
Very proud.
Look at the work you're doing. I mean, this is the thing. We always compare ourselves to others.
I'm fulfilling my promise to my dad. That was one of the last things I did before he died, was I promised him I would do whatever I could to help find a treatment and a cure. And that's why we're here today.
That's wonderful.
The silver lining.
We are talking to Laurette Harmon and Senator Don Harmon. And Jennifer, whose last name I don't have, she's helping us out with the social media. She's live tweeting, and I don't know if we're going to do Periscope, but we'll work on that during the next segment. We will be talking to Dr. David Lederer in just a little bit. First, a break, and then the news. Thank you so much for listening pretty late. I am your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Well, this segment we're recording because we have Dr. Lederer on the line with us. And where are we calling you from? The East Coast?
I'm in New York.
You are in New York. So again, thank you for your patience and for staying up a little late, even though I would have loved to have had you on live. We have so many great things to talk about with our other guests, but we really wanted to get the opportunity to talk to you. I know that you're a pulmonologist and the co-director of Interstitial. Am I saying that right? I know you tried helping me out with how to pronounce this word. Because when people get bad news and they hear something new, how do I pronounce this?
It's Interstitial
lung disease. And this is a program at where is this program located?
I work at Columbia University Medical Center in New York City.
So my guess is that you guys are really trying to lead, or at least have a direct impact on the kind of research and information that people are getting. Can you tell us exactly what this is?
Of course. So there's a large family of lung diseases called interstitial lung disease, which you just mentioned, and that's a family of diseases that causes scarring or inflammation in the walls of the tiny little air sacs in the lung. And that scar tissue or inflammation makes it hard to breathe, mm-hmm. people get short of breath, and also makes it hard for oxygen to get into the bloodstream. And whenever oxygen levels drop in the bloodstream, people just feel awful and short of breath. Now, there are, hundreds of different kinds of interstitial lung disease. When there's scarring buildup, we call it pulmonary fibrosis. There's still dozens of kinds of pulmonary fibrosis. And there's a lot of work now trying to develop new therapies for these diseases.
And what are some of the interstitial diseases that cause this? I mean, is this something like pneumonia can cause pulmonary fibrosis?
Well, in general, an infectious pneumonia, like we'd all think about a bacterial pneumonia or a viral pneumonia, generally does not lead to permanent scar tissue that's progressive over time. We do use the word pneumonia sometimes when we're referring to inflammatory or fibrotic diseases, and I think that's a source of confusion mm-hmm. for patients. They might be told they have nonspecific interstitial pneumonia, and that's not really a bacterial pneumonia. That's one of the types of pulmonary fibrosis. And talking about the causes of these diseases, very commonly we cannot figure out the cause, no matter how hard we try. But probably about half the time we can nail down one or another cause. Sometimes the scar tissue develops as a reaction to a medication. Sometimes it develops in response to radiation treatment to the chest for malignancy. Sometimes people have autoimmune diseases like scleroderma or rheumatoid arthritis that can affect the lungs. And then most people have heard of asbestos or coal dust causing scarring in the lungs. So that would be another large family of the diseases.
And would that be separate from the kind of diseases that smoking can lead to?
It is thought to be separate from many of the other diseases that we're more familiar with, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, emphysema, and lung cancer, which are all tightly linked to smoking. And this is really a completely different family of diseases. Smoking can contribute to some types of pulmonary fibrosis, but it's a completely different family. There's probably, we estimate, well over 200,000 people living in the United States with some form of pulmonary fibrosis. So even though
really?
It's not so rare, most people haven't heard of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, is there a possibility that someone could have pulmonary fibrosis and not be aware?
No, that's actually quite common, and we're finding it more and more in the population. One study studied folks who had smoked, whether they had some other disease like COPD or not, and they did CAT scans on all these people. And over 10% of the smokers had some early evidence of scarring in their lungs. So, and most of those people didn't know they had any problem with the lungs at all. So there's a little bit of a silent epidemic of this disease going around. We're still trying to figure out how much of that early disease is really important, or should we just ignore it until people are short of breath and coughing all the time?
Well, when you mentioned short of breath and coughing, obviously that those are a couple of the symptoms, but how does someone, is it when they're just climbing a flight of stairs, when they're going for a walk and they are maybe a little short of breath than they used to be? Because people will write it off as I'm getting older or I need to work out more often. How can people sort of, make sure that they are aware of their bodies when it comes to their respiratory health?
Yeah, well, I think you said it really well. Most people with pulmonary fibrosis develop either a very bothersome dry cough, and by dry, I mean really minimal or no sputum production. And the other classic symptom is shortness of breath during exertion that seems to get worse over the course of months or even years. Most people with pulmonary fibrosis are diagnosed with something else first. Sometimes it is that they're told that, you just need to lose weight, or you're just getting older, or you just need to exercise more. But also, we've had plenty of people who were told first they had asthma or COPD or it was their heart or some other medical problem, because doctors just don't think about pulmonary fibrosis when they think about the first four or five things on their list of possibilities when someone presents with shortness of breath or cough. So it tends to be diagnosed late.
And look, people will Google things, and now that they're learning more about pulmonary fibrosis, they have more information. Is it helpful to ask a doctor? I know that you've said I have asthma or possibly COPD or these other determinations that a doctor might have. As you said, they have a list of things they go through. Should a patient say, can you check for pulmonary fibrosis?
Well, it's certainly reasonable to bring it up. I will point out that most people who have problems breathing or who are coughing will not have pulmonary fibrosis.
Okay.
But there's actually a very simple test that the doctor can do to see if pulmonary fibrosis might be there, and that's simply to listen very, very carefully to the bottom edge of the lung and around the side when the doctor's listening to the patient's chest. And sometimes we can hear these little tiny sounds called crackles that are a pretty good sign of pulmonary fibrosis. We can see them in other conditions, people with heart problems, or people who are acutely ill with, for example, pneumonia can also have these crackly sounds in their lungs. But if there are crackles in the lungs in anyone who's short of breath or coughing, and if the crackles aren't going away, that's a good reason to start to think about pulmonary fibrosis as a possibility. So asking your doctor to listen for crackles, they might say, of course I'm listening for crackles, that's why I'm putting a stethoscope on your chest. But it's certainly worthwhile to bring it up.
And when someone does learn that they have been diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis, you've mentioned that there's scarring. I'm sure one of the first things a patient might ask is, well, how can I heal those scars? Will those go away? Or what is the treatment?
Yeah, so the bad news is that we don't have any treatments that make scar tissue go away. We do have some treatments that will help people feel better and live a healthier life, and generally those include exercise and, if indicated, the use of oxygen at home or when exerting oneself can be one of the best treatments we have. Really helps people feel a lot better. For a few people, maybe about 1,000 people per year in the United States, they can undergo a lung transplant for pulmonary fibrosis, which can have really a dramatic effect. It can really essentially wipe out the disease. Of course, it gets replaced by a lot of complications from all the medications that a lung transplant patient has to take. And we do have two therapies now approved in the United States. They were approved 2 years ago this month, October 2014. Each of them slows down the progression of scar tissue. They're only indicated for one type of pulmonary fibrosis, which has a funny medical name, which is idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, and the abbreviation for that is IPF. And like I said, they slow down the progression, but they don't necessarily completely stop it from progressing, and there's really no evidence at all that these drugs reverse the disease process. So today we don't have a cure. We have some treatments that help people. We do have a long way to go. And I do want to point out there is a lot more information about this disease on the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation's website, which is pulmonaryfibrosis.org.
And that is great information to have. Again, I think that a well-informed patient, or even just everybody really knowing more about their respiratory health, because you've talked a little bit about the treatment and some possible causes. And you mentioned one of the things, to help feel better is some exercise. Are there also things people can do to prevent pulmonary fibrosis?
Oh, I would say the answer is definitely yes. In my experience, there are plenty of patients that I see in my office who, if they had known that there was something in their life that was triggering scar tissue, they could have gotten rid of it. And, sometimes it is a rare medication effect like I talked about, but I see a lot of people who develop scar tissue because of prolonged exposure to mold in their home or in their workplace. In addition, I also see people who develop scarring in their lungs due to exposure to birds. Now, I don't mean birds that are just flying around outdoors, but birds in the home or pigeons in cages or coops. And I know this sounds awfully specific and kind of out of left field, but over and over and over, these are the two major preventable triggers of pulmonary fibrosis that I see in my practice. The other major factors around the country would be the occupational diseases like asbestos and coal working and a variety of others that are already well known, and people who are employed in those fields are already taking precautions. But if you're listening and you have water damage or mold in your home, I'd say go ahead and get rid of it. Take care of that before it causes a problem. Most people exposed to mold in their home will never develop pulmonary fibrosis, and why some people do is not known at all. It's awful to be a patient and find out that this was a preventable condition if you had gotten rid of the mold 3 or 5 or 10 years before. And we haven't really mentioned this, but pulmonary fibrosis is a progressive disease, and for most people with pulmonary fibrosis, eventually they will pass away from pulmonary fibrosis or from complications of their lung transplant procedure.
Well, we want to make sure that people are informed and have the resources available to know when they go into the doctor's office what to expect. If you are diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis, what your options are. And we want to thank Dr. Lederer again for joining us tonight. We look forward to speaking to you again. I have really enjoyed this conversation, and I think we can help a lot of people in various ways. Would you mind if we called you again? And again, we can record. I won't keep you up late.
Yeah, I'd be happy to anytime. Thanks for having me, Beth.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening, and we will talk to you soon. You're listening pretty late, and joining me in the studio is Senator Don Harmon and Laurette Harmon, who have been telling us stories about Leo and the battle that he faced with pulmonary fibrosis. Joining us on the line is Dave Sherry, who is also himself battling pulmonary fibrosis disorder. Is it a disorder, disease? Hey, Dave, what do you tell people as an ambassador for the Pulmonary Foundation?
Well, thank you first, and thank you for using your program to bring awareness to this disease. It's very much appreciated. Yes, it is a disease. As I was listening to Dr. Lederer's description of what pulmonary fibrosis is, and having been a patient myself for 10 years, it's something that his characterization of the disease is something I'm very familiar with. But it's exactly what he said. It's a scarring of the lungs. It's a progressive scarring of the lungs, and there's very, very little yet that really can be done to treat the disease. You know, Dr. Lederer mentioned oxygen therapy, exercise, and then for patients who have the diagnosis of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, they are eligible to take these two drugs that were approved 2 years ago that help slow the progression of the disease.
And how long have you been battling pulmonary fibrosis?
Well, I was diagnosed about 10 years ago, 52 years old, in good health, never smoked, had a pretty bad chest cold, and the cold went away, but I had this cough that just wouldn't go away. And after several months, my wife, who happens to also be a nurse, said, you've played with this cough too long. Go to the doctor. So I went to our family doctor. He took a chest X-ray. It showed some indications of interstitial lung disease. So, new word for me. I had no idea what it meant. But that, over the course of the succeeding months, I went to a pulmonologist, went through a vast array of testing, ultimately had a lung biopsy done. Mm. And all during this time, I was being told about all of these different types of interstitial lung diseases, and my pulmonologist was listed them out for me on a piece of paper. And he said, we're going to try to eliminate all of these diseases. And at the very bottom of that list, he had a disease called pulmonary fibrosis.
Wow.
And I remember exactly what he told me. He says, we don't want it to be this disease.
Oh.
But ultimately, it was. And, I think Laura, said it real well earlier in your show. It just knocks you off your feet. It's literally a death sentence.
Wow, that's got to be such hard news to take. We're going to have to take a short break here, and I want to come back and just get your thoughts on what you want to tell people who might, face this diagnosis. I know that you speak to a lot of groups. So just hold on one moment. We're going to come right back and just few seconds on 720 WGN. Joining us on the line is Dave Sherry, who has been battling pulmonary fibrosis. And Dave, I forgot to ask, I may have asked, how long have you been battling pulmonary fibrosis? Because I know they've told me, and I can't remember if you told me.
it's been just right at 10 years.
Wow. And you speak for a lot of groups and are sharing and spreading this information. What do you want to tell someone who has just been diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis?
Well, I think the most important thing is, and it was the same advice that was given to me, and that was find a support group. And I was real fortunate. I live in the Seattle area, and there's a very, very strong support group that is sponsored by the University of Washington Medical Center here. And so I started attending that support group and very quickly found that it really was the best place for me to go, not only to get the emotional support, but also to get the education and learn more about my disease, how I can live with it. And that came primarily by the experience of other patients that have been living with this disease, as well as the excellent educational opportunities that were provided by the clinic there at the University of Washington.
Well, I thank you so much for your time tonight. And I'm glad to know that you're in Seattle, because I don't feel like I'm keeping up as late as I keep some of our guests up. We'd love to touch base with you again and learn more about your journey and talk to you about what you share with people. Is there any place you want to do you have a Twitter handle we can follow you and your journey?
I don't, and Jennifer will be the first one to say this. I am a social media deficient.
Have you tried Jennifer, to get him to jump on the Twitter bandwagon?
Well, of course.
That's fine, Dave, because you do a lot of great work and are helping a lot of people. And I also want to ask Laurette Harmon about an upcoming event that you want people to know about.
Oh, well, there's an annual event. It's been going on. Well, this will be the seventh or eighth year. It's actually in New York City, and it's hosted by Julie Halston, mm-hmm. who was known for her role in Sex and the City as Bitsy Von Muffling, and her husband Ralph Howard has pulmonary fibrosis. Mm-hmm. And she very kindly hosts an event every year. This year it's going to be on February 27th at the Edison Ballroom. It's on a Monday night when the theaters are dark, and she gets all of her Broadway friends to do a cabaret show. And the event has raised over $700,000 for the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. And in addition to what Dave said, as far as support groups go, the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation has lots of support groups available through their patient communication center. You can go to pcc@pulmonaryfibrosis.org, and there's lots of information, resources, and support for patients and their family.
I want to thank you all so much for joining us. Dave, you get some rest now, will you? Because I kept you up. We'll talk.
Thank you again.
Oh, my pleasure. And we look forward to talking to you again. And Laurette, thank you so much. And Senator Harmon, I want everyone to know they can go to pulmonaryfibrosis.org for more information and follow them on Twitter. Yes, go ahead.
And I just would also like to give a shout out. Anyone in the Chicago area that's looking for an excellent resource, Dr. Imre Noth and his assistant Kathy Brown at the University of Chicago were my dad's hope. They couldn't provide him much more than hope when he was battling his illness, mm-hmm. but they did an absolutely amazing job.
There's no way to measure how important it is to maintain hope. That is a part of treatment, I think, and recovery and surviving and, you know, just dealing with it, whether it's the patient or the family. It is Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we are thrilled to welcome Almond and Olive. This is the singer-songwriter group, a combo, duo. I think duo is a good way to... I'm picking words out as I go. Natalie Alms and Ollie Davidson. Again, that's Almond and Olive. And here they are with Standing at the Precipice.
Now the hole is getting deep, and the trouble we're in's not easy to hide. We've been searching for an answer, but the books we're reading don't ever explain what we're looking to find. We never know, but we're going to try. You and I standing at the precipice. You and I staring down the gun. You and I both. We're never gonna run, watching as the walls come down. the sky is getting darker and the ground is shaking, but no one knows why. We feel the heat from the fire. All the clocks stop ticking and we never do know what we're going to find. We never know till you run out of time. You and I standing at the precipice. You and I staring down the gun. You and I both in the thick of it. We were never gonna run. Watching as the walls come down to see it through to the end. As the walls come down, you see it through to the end.
Woohoo! That's Olive and Almond with Standing at the Precipice, and we're going to hear more from them in just a little bit and talk to them. I know Steve Dale has brought them in studio. Steve, we got to go to a break real quick.
I'll fix it.
And Bob Ferguson's running. I feel badly he has to run.
Good, you know what?
It's probably my fault. You know what? I realized as I was chit-chatting with Rob Martyr a little too much that I was messing up.
There's going to be a test soon.
There's going to be an EAS test soon.
I'm practicing.
There's nothing I can do to help Bob Ferguson.
I'm studying for the test.
He is running flat out. That was entirely on me. There's a lot of chatting tonight.
He's got to go up seven floors, too.
Well, he's not going to run the whole seven floors.
You would.
No.
You have.
But I had to go up to two first in the elevator. Yeah, because there's no... Okay, we have to go to a
really?
Break.
Really?
Okay,
yeah, go.
Let's go to a break. You're listening pretty late. That was our EAS test. And right now, we have in studio with us Natalie Alms and Ollie Davidson. They are Almond and Olive. And you just asked me a question off the air, which is fine. I can tell you on the air that we are heard in 38 states and Canada. And people are listening all over the world. We have a friend in Italy named Davide who is learning English by listening to our show. And we're pretty sure you pronounce it Davide. We spent almost a half hour.
Hello, Davide.
Hello.
Well done, right there. And let people know where they can find some of your music, maybe download it.
Check us out at almondolivemusic.com. You'll learn a little bit about what we're doing, where we're going. We have some demos up. Unfortunately, we can't really release any of our debut record material yet, but
okay,
it will soon be available.
Mm-hmm. So all information about Almond and Olive is at almondolive.com.
Almond Olive Music.
Almond Olive Music.
.com.
See, Dale, how did you find Almond and Olive?
Well, I've known Almond, or are you Olive?
Okay. Olive.
You know, I think they're billing
changes.
His name's
Ollie.
I know, but for me, that's tough to figure out.
I just get hungry is all I know.
I know. I thought they, you know what, when I thought maybe olive oil. No, I guess not. So when I first heard them, I Common Ground in Chicago, the one on Clark Street. I mean, I've known Ollie forever, and Ollie's a friend, but man, I knew this was something special because of the harmonies.
Right.
And it is just music that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. I mean, now where are you from, Ollie?
Originally from Michigan. Uh-huh. That's just outside of Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, there you go. People always say Michigan, and then they won't give me the town. You didn't make me fish for it. I appreciate it. What's the name of the outside Kalamazoo area?
Portage,
Michigan.
Portage, Michigan.
And what brought you to Chicago?
You know, it's the big city you go to when you live in Portage, Michigan. You know, you can go to Detroit.
Right.
You can go to Detroit, uh-huh, or you can go to Chicago.
All right.
And Chicago's kind of where all my buddies were, and so it was an easy choice.
And now, Natalie, where are you from?
I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Illinois in Cary.
Okay. And what brought you to Chicago? Music or school?
A little bit of music and photography. I actually went to Columbia College, and I spent time in the South Loop at the university and had a lot of fun there studying photography. But I've always loved music, so that was a hobby of mine. And I played gigs. I did shows with whatever I can do around the city. And that's why it was so great meeting Ollie, because for the first time ever, I'm able to produce my music and show it off besides the YouTube covers I've done in the past. So It's a lot of fun.
Which are really good, by the way.
Oh,
and where did you guys meet?
We were working in animal welfare and just started talking about our similar interests, the music that we liked, and just thought we'd get together and kind of goof around a little bit. And, you know, it just so happened that after a few short days and practices, we had like six songs, and it sounded really fantastic.
I think it was actually the first night we practiced at my apartment together. We decided within the hour, we decided that's it. Okay, we're a band.
Yeah, because there's something when we play and sing together, it just seems in sync, and we hear it, and we hope it sounds like other people, maybe it translates to them too, but it feels good to play together.
And did you grow up listening to folk music in your homes?
Absolutely. I think we discussed this very early on. Bob Dylan is a favorite of ours. Joni Mitchell, definitely one of mine. And I've always loved the harmonies of Peter, Paul, and Mary. So I definitely go back to the 60s folk genre. And I think that's what we build off of, too.
Yeah, just a lot of similar interests. My family growing up played music constantly in the house, got me interested in all kinds of different genres of music. We had instruments all the time laying around. So it was just kind of a fun way to grow up, and I think it kind of shaped what I am now.
And what was the first instrument you played?
My dad had this guitar laying around. Well, technically it was a piano my grandma had and some bongos, but I was like five. I didn't really count. My dad had a guitar laying around that he bought at a garage sale, I think, and I started playing like the Losing My Religion. Like there's a melody that comes in there, so I'm just picking the strings. I'm like, oh, look, I can play a guitar. And then from there, just kind of kept playing.
Oh, there you go. And Natalie?
That's similar to me, too. My mom got me a guitar at a garage sale at a very young age, and I started playing, and Stairway to Heaven was my first.
Really?
Yep. After that, took some guitar lessons, and I've actually never learned to read music, so I just go off by ear, which is the funny thing. So lessons didn't really get me far, but really playing with Ollie, I don't even think you need to know the technical. We just go off the sound, so that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And we have a friend of the show named Tom Holland, who is driving back from a gig in Beloit, Wisconsin. He says the band sounds great.
Awesome.
And you guys are killer, is what he's saying.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And I was going to ask you, you mentioned that you had started out or had met each other at animal welfare. Where were you guys working or volunteering?
We were working at an organization called Treehouse.
Okay.
Yeah, together.
So it's cats. Is this correct?
Yep. Treehouse Cats.
You can join us, Steve.
Yes. so I have a question for both of you. So you've worked with a lot of other people, Ollie.
Yes.
And I suppose, Natalie, you have too. Mm-hmm. So how did you know that it was special, it was different? Did you know that instantly? And what was it about the other person that you thought, oh, this is gonna work?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's really hard to find someone that you're in sync with 100% of the time. And I've always enjoyed playing with friends around town, but it was something about Ollie, and I think it was the harmonies, to be quite honest, because I feed off of your harmonies just like you do with mine, and it didn't take long for us to realize that. And that's why every single song we created, we didn't even have to practice that much or go through the songs that much to realize the harmonies. They were organic.
I think the other part of it is that we trust each other. And
absolutely,
that's when you're playing music and you're bringing up a new song, or you're making a mistake or it doesn't sound good, you worry that the other person thinks something about it and you shut down. But between the two of us, we don't shut down. We build off of our creativity and we grow the songs together, and it kind of seemed like that right off the bat.
And does some of that wisdom come with having worked with other people where as you mentioned, the anxiety of worrying about what the other person thinks?
Is that
part of it?
I've played with a lot of different people in my time, good and bad. It's always been for fun. But when you can't be honest and play and be creative without any sort of feeling like you're not succeeding, mm-hmm. then you're stifled. And we are never stifled. Mm-hmm. We always are just growing.
Wow. I know that years ago I'd see Ollie perform and it was really rock and roll music more than this kind of music. And to me, this isn't like classic. It's like folk rock / pop. And you mentioned Bob Dylan. To me, you're more in tune than Bob Dylan. It sounds more like Simon and Garfunkel or something.
Do you mean more? I would think with Bob Dylan, I think when they talk about his music, I always think of it as being the lyrics and the music.
Yeah. And that's very important to Ollie and I, too. I mean, our lyrics mean so much to us. They come from deep in our heart. So I think that's another reason why we connect so well.
Yeah, and this last song we played, Standing at the Precipice, it's one of my favorites as far as the story that it seems to tell. It kind of unfolds this dystopian sort of place because that kind of interests both of us. We like Walking Dead. We like, you know, things like that. So We were even talking before that we got on the air, like how we were going to do the video for that, and we got some really cool ideas. But
I like the idea of folk singers going, "Yeah, we love The Walking Dead," exactly, and it informs, right, our music. And
yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? We are hanging out with Almond and Olive. You can go to almondolivemusic.com for information about everything that they're doing. And Steve Dale is in studio with us as well. We will hear more music from Almond and Olive when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Music Monday, and we are thrilled to have Almond and Olive in the Showcase studio with us. Here they are playing live, Wildest Dreams.
This one's for Taylor.
Santa, let's get out of this town, drive out of the city, away from the crowd. Thought heaven can help me now, nothing lasts forever, but this is gonna take me down.
He's so tall and handsome as hell.
He's so bad, but he does it so well.
I can see the end as it begins.
My one condition is,
say you'll remember me,
standing in a nice
dress, staring at the sunset, babe, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Oh, wildest dreams. Oh.
Hands are in my hair, his clothes are in my room, and his voice is a familiar sound. Nothing lasts forever, but this is getting good now.
He's so tall, handsome as hell.
He's so bad, but he does it so well.
When we had our very last kiss,
my last request is,
say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Oh, wildest dreams. Oh. Side tangled up with you all night, burn it down. Someday you leave me, I bet these memories haunt you around. See me in hindsight, tangled up with you all night,
burn it down.
Someday when you leave me, I bet these memories follow you around. Say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just pretend. Say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe, red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Oh, wildest dreams. Oh, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Oh,
even
That's Almond and Olive with Wildest Dreams, a little Taylor Swift song. By the way, we were getting some comments on Facebook. David Cav, who was in playing in the studio a couple weeks ago, said, you guys, oh, and a banjo too. Damn nice. Please, guys, stay together. You two have great chemistry. So he said that's not the kind of thing you can fake or learn. Joining me in studio right now is Steve Dale, our pet expert, who's, I just signed up for your newsletter. I don't know why I hadn't done it before, but I went to your website and I decided to sign up for it. So I know that you're going to be on Steve Cochran's show tomorrow talking about older pets for adoption.
Yeah, the Chicago Canine Rescue when you have too many animals
alert,
in one place?
Overflow, overburdened, emergency? I don't know.
When you have a lot of animals in one place.
Fill the capacity, overpopulated, beyond capacity.
Come on, it's a game show.
Too many animals.
Too little
hoarder.
Space.
Gosh.
Hoarder.
Wait. They had a hoarder? That was not at all what you were the path you were leading us down at all.
I didn't mean that. I apologize.
None of those words. As a lawyer, Paul Favar, would you say that any of those descriptions?
I just got here, so I thought he was saying a party.
No!
You said a lot.
James Vickery, we were both playing along very...
I'm still trying, actually.
Oh, yeah. So there was a hoarder who...
Actually, it's really sad. So there's a hoarder who had all these dogs, way too many dogs. And these are two older dogs that we will adopt out after 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with Steve Cochran. I am confident that we will adopt these dogs out.
I would. I saw the pictures. One's a dachshund,
cute?
I believe.
Yeah.
And the other is a chihuahua?
Well, there might be
or
dachshund
mix.
Chihuahua mix. Yeah, they're mixes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
One is named Fuji and the other's named Granny. Oh. So it proves that a dog a day will keep the doctor away as well.
Well, because they're the apples of your eyes.
Yes. Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about adopting older animals, with how important that is and how much love you can
bring into
your home.
You know, this could be the greatest thing in the world for a senior citizen, actually, mm-hmm. because you don't have to deal with all that puppy stuff that goes on.
Right.
The dogs are already house trained. These dogs in particular, you know, from hoarding situations, sometimes the dogs are not particularly social, but these dogs are.
Good.
They love laps. You know, some of the best laps I know belong to senior citizens. So I think it's a perfect fit. You don't have to go jogging.
I just imagine Steve Dale sitting on a senior citizen's lap.
Right.
I don't know why. I mean, maybe it was a Santa Claus thing. Oh, you just broke your chair. Okay.
I know.
Okay, two more. We have a whole bunch of things to talk about.
And we do.
So tomorrow you'll be on Steve Cochran's show talking about these two,
mm-hmm.
about Fuji and Granny to adopt.
Yes. Yep.
And their dachshund mixes. And,
yes.
And help you adopt them now and you don't even have to. I'm kidding. Where can people find out more? On your website, you have pictures of Fuji and Granny.
I do, stevedale.tv.
And you also said that there's some exciting news about our dog beach.
Yes,
Montrose
Dog Beach. This is great. It makes me, you know, there's so much news about Chicago, and you're going to hear me talk about this and hear WGN talk about this and hear the city talk about this coming week and in upcoming weeks. There's just so much news about Chicago that isn't so good.
Stop. It's all good stuff. I'm kidding. There's a lot of bad stuff. Tell us some of the good stuff.
There's good stuff, too, that happens every single day in this city. And some of it makes me very proud to be a Chicagoan. And this is kind of simple, but it's mm-hmm. our dog beach. And USA Today is having a poll. They're looking for the top dog beach in America. And you know what? It's either number one or number two, Montrose Dog Beach. So get in there and vote.
Who are we competing against?
A whole bunch of cities. But
okay, where do we vote?
It is also the link, because the link is one of
those
long links.
SteveDale.tv?
Yeah. It's,
okay.
You know, but the story is
right up there. All roads lead back to SteveDale.tv.
Yeah. It's the
new
Google. Don't
know how that happens. Yes.
Okay. So SteveDale.tv for voting.
For
the
your
link
life.
To vote for Montrose.
But seriously, you know, you're from Chicago, so you could vote early. And
what
vote
are you accusing
often.
Me of? It? You sound, make it sound kind of like...
No, it's a good thing.
I am from Chicago.
This dog beach is great.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it become... where everyone
recognized.
Says, yes, the best
I'll help
dog
with that
beach.
Word.
I have a problem tonight with words.
You're
overpopulated.
Yeah. Fill the capacity.
Fill in the blank.
Yes. Okay. And then we have something important to talk about.
Yes.
Yes. Montreal. Which one did you want to talk about? Montreal.
Yeah. So there was a dog attack. Do you want me to do it now?
Tell me what hashtag BSL means. How's that?
That's
breed
exactly
specific legislation.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
I'm asking
right.
like I don't know, because I've been on this I've been posting pictures of
thank you.
Of pit bulls but in general, targeting specific breeds, pit bulls. Because I read your article. That's what set me off was how nebulous
thank
this
you.
Is. And you use that word. I've been using nebulous ever since. Just so you know, because you put it on your
it's
website.
The one word I know.
SteveDale.tv.
Googling it right now for everybody. So.
In Montreal, they are banning pit bulls.
Yeah.
They are forcing people to register their dogs, and if they do have if they pass the standards, they have to muzzle them in public. And this is also going to, they're not going to be adoptable. You can't now, can you now buy or adopt a
So Montreal, they don't know what they're doing. This is not a good idea. And they
Montreal,
are, so,
are you listening to us? You don't know what you're doing.
Well, we probably have listeners up there. Yeah. And they are so confused. The good news is a judge said, stop. Let's figure this out. This just happened a couple of hours ago.
Okay.
It said, stop. Let's figure this out. It's all on hold. Because the way you have it written doesn't make much sense. And the public, by the way, in Montreal doesn't seem to want this, according to local polls that have been done. Now, breed-specific legislation doesn't work. That's when cities or communities, counties, sometimes states, ban specific breeds of dogs. And pit bulls are always among them. The problem is a pit bull or the dog you go to a shelter and you say, aha, that is a pit bull.
Right.
It's not. More than nine times out of ten, it is a mixed breed dog is all it is. Genetic testing has been done, and studies have been done at Cornell and elsewhere to demonstrate these are just mixed breed dogs. And there was a dog attack. This is what always prompts it. There's a dog attack.
And a woman was killed in Montreal.
Yeah, terrible.
Right.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
But they didn't even do, they hadn't even gotten the DNA results back on
they
the dog.
They still haven't. And now they think it's a boxer mix. Which has nothing to – that's why the American Veterinary Medical Association, the CDC, and the Humane Society of the United States said several years ago, we are not even looking at breed because it's insignificant. What's important is the individual dog and what gives that dog an opportunity to prompt a severe attack. And there are some things that these severe dog attacks have in common.
Which
has nothing to do with breed.
What are the things that are in common?
Lack of socialization. This is not in any particular order. Lack of socialization of the dog. A history of dog bites. So this dog falls in that category, by the way. This dog previously had bitten, and pretty viciously, two other people. What is this dog still doing out there?
So the registration of previous attacks is necessary.
If the dangerous dog laws are written appropriately, if the dog is, quote, guilty, sometimes the dog isn't. The dog may be taunted or whatever. But if the dog is truly guilty of a vicious attack, it should not be given a second or third chance.
Right. Right. So the dangerous dog legislation should be for
all
identifying,
breeds.
For all breeds, identifying those that have caused injuries.
Absolutely. Okay. Another factor.
Paul, you and I are going to write this legislation.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I don't know anything about dog law right now, but practice is really slow. So I think I found
could represent
what I could go into.
I got pen and paper. Let's work
in
on
Montreal,
this during the break.
I think so.
When are they voting on this stuff so we know?
Well, they did vote, but and they approved
were
they it.
Thinking, were the
but,
judges
but
waiting?
But now it's been taken to court, and a judge said, wait a minute, this is not right. It seems very confusing. And the judge is actually right about this. And my hope is that the ban will not even go through. And if it does go through, the dogs in shelters that are classified as pit bulls ought to go really fast to another town or they will die. And
well,
that's not right.
If they wait till after November, because half of America is moving to Canada, so they'll have a whole new... I mean, regardless of
voting
what it
population,
is, it's going to be a whole new population.
Well,
to help
I'm the half that's going to Mexico, actually. I just spoke at a conference there.
Of course you did. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's a packed house. I have every microphone taken. I don't even have enough chairs for Steve Dale. He's just hovering on a countertop right now. Oh, here we – and I've asked Almond and Olive, Natalie and Ollie, to sit back down and let us know about their tour they have coming up because before they play another song, I want to give them a chance to share that news.
Great. Thank you. We have two bits of breaking news. The first one is this tour, of course.
I don't have a typewriter. Pause
it. So the first is this tour. As you mentioned, we are going to be going on an East Coast tour beginning of 2017.
Absolutely. We're going to play some really fun venues on the way. We're doing it road trip style. So we're going to take our little car, we pack up the guitar and banjo, and head over to the East Coast. The Bitter End is one we are very excited about.
Yeah, Bitter End
showcase.
In New York City is where we're kind of going to, and then we're coming back. So Ann Arbor, New York State, New York City, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Ohio.
When you say little car, how little are we talking?
It all depends. We might bring a clown car. You never know.
Yep. Why are you looking at what do you have now?
Well, the car is to be determined. We have to figure that out.
Okay.
Don't worry. It's going to be fine.
I feel like you need a fleet.
Steal one?
We'll have to steal a
tour bus.
You know what I've always wanted to do? I've always wanted to do this. Like, if I wasn't going on a tour as a comic, was like get a car and then just see how far it makes it and then get a car in the next town. I'm not suggesting you do that. That seems a little dicey. Because what if you're in between towns?
Yes.
Right.
So we're hoping the vehicle is yet to be revealed, but
or you find out someone who needs a car delivered to your first destination.
Good
and
idea.
Then a car needs to be delivered. See, this is
I love that idea.
That's it.
The second piece of the breaking news is that we're going to play a song in just a second. It's going to appear on a live acoustic album that we're just about to record with our friend John Abbey over at King Size Sound Labs in Chicago. It's a 6-song EP. We're going to pre-release that to our album coming out in January. So.
Very cool. Yeah, nice. Before we set up for the next song, we have a listener who wanted to join us, who has also been on the show. Hey, David Kaff, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. What do you want to tell us?
I hope I'm not pestering you too much by calling in.
It's fine. No, we love hearing from you.
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, Ollie and Almond, that's what you call yourself?
Almond and Olive.
Almond and Olive.
Oh, excuse me. Alphabetical order. I'm sorry. first of all, I love hearing what I've heard from you guys. And as I told Patty when I was on a show a couple weeks ago, chemistry is not something that you can buy or borrow. So you guys have great chemistry.
Oh, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
That's very sweet of you. Go ahead.
Well, not only that, but I just want to chime in the Pitbull thing that you guys were talking about. And it's funny because my wife and I go back and forth, and she's against Pitbulls. And Pitbulls get a really bad name because I just heard your conversation about Pitbulls. And I remember I played this gig in Noblesville, Indiana, and they had me learn this Pitbull song because they're so friendly about Pitbulls. And they really do get a bad rap.
Like Pitbull the artist, or is it a Pitbull song?
No. Let me clarify. It's not Pitbull the artist. It's the dogs. Because I'm really glad what you said about them because, there's been some reports about how pit bulls have been attacked, but those are few and far in between. Where the pit bulls that, even when I perform with them on stage, they're very friendly dogs.
You have performed with pit bulls on stage?
Or pit bull the artist?
I swear to God. No, not the artist. I had to do this song with them. And
do you know any of the lyrics to the song? Can you maybe I can learn something.
The artist is John Stipe. It's called Pitbull. Pitbull song. I'm a pitbull.
David, you've already had your in-studio appearance on WGN.
I know. Yes. Yeah, so, well, he asked. So,
there you go.
I did.
He did.
It was my fault.
The funny thing is, isn't it true, Steve? Most people, dogs, I think, are pit bulls, aren't actually pit bulls.
No, they're just mixed breed dogs. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
We are, David, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts and a praise for Almond and Olive. Olive and Almond.
Thank you so much.
No, Almond and Olive. You were right the first time.
I know, but David screwed me up on that one. Almond and Olive.
Thank you, David.
Not you. I'm teasing you. Have a great night, David. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
You too.
All right. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's a full house, and I kind of love that. Joining me in studio is comedian James Vickery and comedian Paul Farvar. We've got a couple minutes before we throw to the news. James, what brings you back into town?
I'm just stopping by for a quick little stint. I'm doing a show Wednesday at the R29 Lounge for the residents of the 229 West Monroe building.
Oh, that's right. You asked me about this a couple months ago.
Yeah, it's a happy hour show. So it's like, it's really just for the people that work in that building. So it's kind of cool. So we're just getting that started.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I wonder who they were booking there.
Who books this room? This is what comics are about.
Where I'm getting my salad for lunch.
Exactly. So it's a beautiful view. So...
it's only for the residents? Can people sneak into the show?
People can sneak in. Yeah. Just hit
anyone
me
that goes there can go in there.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's where I get my lunch. I'm at 200 West Adams.
Oh, really?
And you have another podcast to tell people about, Paul Farmer, that we had just dropped last week. When do you drop your podcast?
So we have our podcast is called Singles Only. It's on the Laugh Factory channel, and we drop it every Monday. And you're going to come and guest host with us.
Eventually. Do we know if it's tomorrow or not?
We're trying to get it worked out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so sorry. Yeah, if you need a replacement, we'll figure it out.
We're going to figure it out.
I'll explain why.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Not to everybody, just to you.
It's not a problem, but it's just single people talking about being single. And we always have one person who's the voice of reason. That's Jeannie Dugan, but she can't do for a couple weeks. So, Patty, you're going to be the voice
of
reason.
Definitely do next week. I'll tell you what.
You're fine. I'm going out of town, too, so it's fine.
All right.
So, not to Marshalltown, Iowa this week.
No,
so.
I know. I saw the very fancy publicity that you got.
Yeah, it was kind of a photocopy. It was very nice.
And Steve Dale also joins us in studio. We have an event coming up on Thursday that we'll tell you about when we come back.
Oh, yes. It's the most exciting thing.
It's the most exciting thing ever.
Yes.
I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. Elliot Serrano's going to be there.
Totally exciting.
Craig's going to be there. We're all going to be eating really good food.
Ollie will be there.
Ollie will be there.
Everybody will be there.
You know where you weren't? At the Cat Video Fest.
I know.
You're listening pretty late. It is Music Monday, and we've been listening to the wonderful music from Almond and Olive. You can go to almondolivemusic.com for more information on everything they're doing. But right now you can hear their music live. Here they are with Wouldn't You Love.
Wouldn't you love to love somebody? Wouldn't you love to care? Wouldn't you love to be all that you can be? Wouldn't you love to love? So listen carefully.
All you gotta do is smile.
All you gotta do is smile.
And be happy.
And be happy.
Remember that the world is seen through all different eyes.
Different eyes.
All you gotta do is
for everybody in love, so your heart grows double in size. There is no color of the rainbow that is better than the other. There is no right or wrong in love, you feel is so strong.
All you gotta do is smile.
And be happy.
And be happy.
Remember that the world is seen through all different eyes.
Different
all
eyes.
You gotta do is feel for everybody in love, so your heart grows double in size. Love, so your heart grows double in size. Wouldn't you love to be a hero? Wouldn't you love to be a friend who tries? Wouldn't you love to listen with your heart? Wouldn't you love to learn to see another side?
All you gotta do is smile.
All you gotta do is smile.
And be happy.
And be happy.
Remember that the world's seen through all different eyes.
Different
all
eyes.
All you gotta do is feel
for everybody in love, so your heart grows double in size. Love, so your heart grows double in size. Love, so your heart grows double in size.
Come on now. Take it.
I'm just talking to the Facebook Live people this morning. Bye, everybody on Facebook. Hello, everybody on the radio. That's fantastic music. Really lovely. It's Almond and Olive. Go to almondolivemusic.com to learn more about them. And they're going to be touring in 2017. Find out where those cities are going to be. I think we should road trip with them.
I like it.
I say we caravan.
In their Volkswagen.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you guys, you are wonderful. Anytime, really. Anytime you want to come back, just let us know, and we'd love to have you back.
You.
No doubt. And Steve Dale, you and I are going to hang out on Thursday.
Yes. Friends of Animal Care and Control has their big benefit. They support the city's municipal shelter. And it happens right down the street at the Chicago Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
You will be there, so
be there.
Much culture will be added to the event. It's called Big Night. So remember the movie with all those chefs? Some of the best chefs, about 24 of them are near that.
Isabella Rossellini? Wasn't Isabella Rossellini in that one?
I don't.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, in the movie, yes. I don't think she'll be at the event,
No, but
however.
I just went to the movie. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You continue.
Yeah, and but people like her.
Yes,
that make really good food.
Who love food?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean the food is amazing. You can eat all you can possibly eat.
Oh boy!
Drink all you want. Hopefully, then you'll be in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And for the silent auction, you'll fill out your name under lots of things.
And you'll be hosting.
And
this.
I will be the MC. Last year, they gave me an award, so I was not the MC. But I've been the MC before. This year, the honor goes to Dr. Shelley Rubin.
Mm-hmm.
He has been on this radio station talking about pets for about 30 years, or going back to Wally Phillips, actually.
Very cool.
And then when I did the pet show, he's been on my show for 20 years, and more than any other veterinarian. But far more than that, his dedication and contribution to Chicago medicine is for 41 years. And he retired. His idea of retirement, volunteer at anti-cruelty, volunteer at animal control. And that's what he does. He goes back. He treated lions and tigers and things at the zoo at one point.
And well, you should have said bears.
And the bears.
I don't know
Sorry.
How you say lions and tigers and don't say bears.
Sorry.
Oh my.
And oh my.
Oh my.
You know what I love? Now, James Vickery and Paul Farvar in studio, both comedians, and actually, unlike... We're not lawyers. Paul is a lawyer also.
You always forget that I was a former musician too, and you have Music Mondays.
Oh.
And before I was a lawyer, I was a musician. I was in 14
Do you want to come
bands.
Play live in the studio? Is that what you're saying? Did you want to pick up something and play with Almond and Olive?
I was a co-writer.
Almond Olive and Paul?
I mean, I could sit in. I'm a great rhythm guitarist. I can do a three-part harmony as long as the songs are in G. And, you know, I bring a lot to the table. So, and I have a car. So, all things that.
Wait a minute. I think someone's offering to drive you around the country.
Driver. Yeah.
I think you found your driver.
But I get to play at the bitter end because, you know, I haven't played there before. So,
well, there you go.
Well, how about me? I could play there too.
Wow. Yeah. Everyone's just trying to jump on.
I can play multiple instruments.
Why don't Paul and Steve create a band and then you can follow
we
them?
We can open for them.
Yes. Yeah, so
I think so. Yeah.
Drive, I mean, it's follow behind them in the cars. And I'm sure that they'll wait for you at every turn.
It's going to be Hoarder Nebulous. That's the name of our band. It's going to crush.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it.
Well done. Well done. So that event is on Thursday, the big night.
Oh, yeah, that. Big night. But seriously, you will be helping homeless animals in Chicago. Unfortunately, the budget isn't what it should be or could be. For most city departments, that includes Animal Care and Control. And Friends of Animal Care and Control supplement that budget in all sorts of different ways. It's really needed, and this is by far their biggest event.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, it is a whole lot of fun. Lots of celebrities come out. Oh, well.
Patty Vasquez
will be there. Yeah.
I'm trying to find the link to it, but I'm sure it's on stevedale.tv.
Funny thing, you should mention that.
Everything's on stevedale.tv.
Our band link is going to be on there.
Yeah,
it is awesome. Already, actually.
Hoarder Nebulous.
By the way, you mentioned that you play instruments. Steve had cats in the studio playing rock music, and for hours people were talking about it because guests that were coming in the studio had allergies and they couldn't understand why they were having trouble.
That's not true.
Yes, it actually is.
Really?
Did you listen to Pearson's show after yours?
I did. A little bit, I did, and it wasn't mentioned.
It was cracking me up.
Really?
Yes. It's all right. They were all fine. They were all laughing about it. But you had cats playing rock music.
I did.
The Arco cats.
Yeah. We had a piano kind of right over there.
Oh my gosh.
And we had a cat in the studio playing the piano. You can listen.
That's right, Paul. Cats have played rock music in the studio, not you.
I like the idea. They can open for us. It's fine.
And the Acro cats are performing, in fact.
Acro, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. They're performing Thursday night through Sunday at the
go to stevedale.tv for more information.
Theater. And yes, you could learn more where?
stevedale.tv.
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe.
I don't know how you knew that. Yes.
I have this tattoo on my forearm.
stevedale.tv. I like it.
All right.
I like that you checked Patty too, by the way. You're like, does he really?
You can try it on there.
That's a lot of commitment from my guests. I love that. All right. We have to talk. Believe it or not, I usually don't talk about Donald Trump on days other than Wednesday, but I have to. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit about, because it's just too much. It's too much stuff. So you're welcome to stay. But do you have a cough button? You don't have to turn your own microphone off. What just happened there? All right. Steve Dale may or may not be here when we come back. I want to thank.
It's the mention of the
Ollie.
Name. That's what happened.
Thank Ollie and Natalie for coming in studio, and we look forward to having you back. Really amazing, beautiful music. A lot of compliments from our listeners.
Thank you.
So really beautiful.
A lot of fun.
More with our guests when we come back on 720 WGN. That was two songs at the same time. Hold on, can I do that again? Wait. Those kind of go well together, don't they?
I like it.
It's Iron Maiden and Huey Lewis.
It goes back to my DJ days. I never played anything quite like that.
Make it stop. Make it stop. Joining me in studio is our comedians, James Vickery and Paul Farvar, who is also a former musician, a lawyer, books musical talent. Is that what you're...
Yeah, we have a company called Chi Shan Boy Productions that someone else... We have bookers now that do it, but for years I managed bands and played in bands. Basically, it was an excuse for me to be like, hey, you guys want to play a show, but guess what? I'm going to play with you guys. And then they'd be like, all right. So basically, I ran that scam to the end, and then they figured it out. And they're like, yeah, you can't play in our bands anymore. Wow. But
it's good to be.
Then
a title.
I found a comedian.
You found it. Yeah. Why? What got you into comedy?
I got kicked out of too many bands. I think I was like, I still need the attention. So
does this go with that theory that all comedians are failed musicians? It's not true. There's one.
I'm definitely a failed musician. So if that is a theory, I never heard it. But
I think Eddie Murphy in Delirious talked about how.
They say they're wannabe musicians.
They're
right?
wannabe. We wannabe. Yeah.
And I believe that. I would, in a heartbeat, if I could sing and play guitar.
See, I did it, and I'll tell you the difference. I think I said it on the show before. It's, when you're a comedian, you have the audience's attention. But when you play in a band, unless you're a famous band, and you're just you're at a show, people are talking the whole time, and you look in the audience, and I don't notice that until I went back and played a song at a show. And I was like, why isn't anyone listening to me? Because when you're a comedian, you have the full attention.
The thing about being a musician is that you don't have to care as much that they're not paying attention.
That's true. If you
there's
bomb,
something beautiful about the inward. That's what I always love about
a musician. It's just you and the
really
music.
Into what they're doing. Yeah, they're just in their own space.
Yeah. If you're in a good band, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you're doing covers of Dave Matthews at the Corner of McGee's, it's not the same.
Well, see, that's what I was picturing for myself.
When I talk about cat behavior, people listen.
Yeah, but you're at events where they've come to the seminars or the conferences, and they know that's what they're going to
And I rarely take out a guitar. And
Have you thought about it?
Well, I'm performing cats, clearly.
I can say, what about your cat musicians? How do they feel? Do they connect?
Have you asked them about it?
I have, actually, and they've gotten rather upset.
See?
Oh, dear.
I'm telling you, even if you bomb as a,
as a cat?
As a cat comic.
I hate bombing.
Forget cat comedians. It's
a whole other world. But at least if you don't have a heckler, you have the whole crowd. Quiet. They're listening. They don't like you, but they're listening.
Right.
But when you're in a band that's not, people aren't listening, or you're the opener for a bigger band, and you look in the crowd and nobody's paying attention, it's pretty brutal too.
I can see that.
I believe you.
But there's this visceral reaction when people. Now, granted, I am definitely fantasizing about more positive experiences from a band. But when you watch people in the audience lose themselves.
Yeah.
To a band in a way that, as a comedian, is
that's
hard.
A whole other level
right.
of musicianship. Yeah, if you're you're selling out the Vic Theater and things of those natures, but that's a whole. As hard as it is to make it as a comedian to get to that level, it's 10 times harder as a musician.
I'm going
to
prove you wrong. So
okay, I've played sold out shows at a lot of nice venues in Chicago, and all those experiences, nobody was singing the lyrics to any of the songs I was in, even when they were covers.
Although sometimes there are just performers that grab you. And when I saw these guys, Almond and Olive, at Uncommon Ground. So it's the kind of place where people talk
Absolutely.
To one another, but they didn't. As soon as they began to harmonize, bang.
They captured everyone's
they
audience.
Did.
They attention. Did. Yeah.
Now I feel bad that we talked through the whole time they were playing. Yeah. I'm just kidding. We didn't do that.
They
were awesome.
They were really good.
Yeah. That was my
great
harmonies,
that
was maybe
too.
The favorite I've ever... And I don't want to... This is
well, you can't
no
remember who
knock
else
against... I really can't off the top of my head. in this moment, one of the best I've ever seen live.
They were great.
I loved it.
And as a former person in the music industry that like I was a manager and I know, I mean, they truly have great, their harmonies were really, really on key.
Well done, Steve Dale. Thank you for introducing us.
Yeah.
We would never have known.
Yeah,
I already gave him my card. I'm going to play djembe with them in the next show. I'm like, hey, here's the deal. I'm going to get you guys at House of Blues, but there's a little catch. Like, I'm going to play the first four songs on djembe. You can turn the microphone down. I just want to be on stage.
You throw Cat playing the drums with them?
Yeah.
I am all in.
Look
out. We can bring your cats on there, too.
I actually did have a cat that played the piano.
I know. You told me.
Yeah.
Instead of Rick Pearson. Rick Pearson and his guest told us.
Did that really happen?
We're all going to have dreams of cats tonight playing Play instruments.
You have no idea. I went to the Cat Video Fest yesterday at the Music Box.
That's right.
It was so much fun. I can't believe you weren't. It was a blast.
I forgot it. Actually.
70 minutes of cat videos.
70 minutes of cat videos.
Oh, my God. It was the best thing ever. And, like, some of them were like a couple of animated or computer-generated ones that people had, you know, just done these little vignettes. But, no, I mean, and there were categories. It was, like, drama, action, adventure, you know, cats fighting.
My favorite is the cats attacking kids. Mm-hmm. If you Google that, it's 1.5 minutes of amazing.
I like the cats.
Nobody gets hurt.
Right. Cats afraid of cucumbers. Remember that whole thing going on?
Oh, that's silly. You know, I tried that with my cat.
Of course you did.
I think that's offensive to cats. Tell you what I think, James.
So I took out a cucumber and I...
As any great story
Could
starts.
Could you mark that for me? I need that at 1:25:55 to send that to Nick DeGillian, please.
So I pulled out the cucumber and I put it down right next to the cat. And I thought the cat would, because these cats look at the cucumber and they jump. That's the whole thing, right? My cat just looked at the cucumber and like, okay, and just walked away.
What do they think? It's a snake or something?
No.
Esmeralda, didn't you try this with your cat as well?
I did. She could not care less.
Well, okay. So
maybe those are cats.
She went back to eat.
Maybe it's like cats who had bad experiences.
Well, think about it. A cucumber is about half as big as a cat. And if you put something down that's
so
as big
anything.
As you are, and you don't expect it to be there, you might jump. I mean, we would do that. A cat would do that.
If I turned around, there's a giant cucumber. I might.
Yeah.
I'd be startled.
Yeah, if there were a 4-foot-long cucumber, you know.
Because I am 8 feet tall.
I don't know which one of those.
I don't know. I don't know where you're getting these cucumbers from Venezuela, but...
That is true, though. If I turn around, there's a 4-foot cucumber behind me. I would...
If there's a 4-foot anything that's behind you and you don't expect it, you're going
to
freak out.
I'm just giving Steve Dale a puppy trying to go after a lemon, by the way.
A lemon.
Have you seen this one?
Is this the new thing now?
I don't know, but this is a... You can Google puppy attacks lemon, and this is one of my... The dog's going crazy over this lemon. Do you think it's because he tasted it and he's just mad at it? I don't know what's wrong with
toy.
This puppy.
It's just like a toy.
To him, it's a... Yeah, but he's... going crazy over lemon.
I used to give my nephew a lemon just to watch him freak out, and then he would push it away afterwards because he learned that it doesn't.
It doesn't
please.
It doesn't
taste.
It doesn't please. No.
I wish that your nephew would be like, it does not please me.
Well, he didn't speak English at 1 year.
Wouldn't it be amazing if he spontaneously spoke English because
he's forced to?
Even if you close it, my computer will still make noise. Oh, what? Usually when I close it, it's still. Sure, when I open it in the press box on the floor of the Senate in Springfield, you can still hear porn. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian James Vickery and comedian and attorney. Do you want me to say attorney? Or does it, no.
Just
do you not like that I say that?
And after. I'm a comedian after 5 o'clock. So
after 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock is or yeah, 5.
Well, right now, yeah. It's definitely after that. So you are officially,
sure,
officially
comedian.
Your comedian.
And unless someone needs a lawyer, then
right.
I can need a call. Better call Paul.
Whatever you need.
13@AOL.com. No, that's not my email.
Oh, my God. If your lawyer's email was AOL.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to look into that a little bit. I have a policy that we don't talk about Donald Trump unless there's, you know, like tomorrow night we will because of the the VP debate.
Yeah. Vice president is the word you're looking for.
Vice presidential debate.
Agreed.
Was actually the word. Vice president debate?
Tomato,
yeah,
tomato.
No, right.
That doesn't seem right. This is a better conversation than talking about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I reserve those conversations for Wednesday night at midnight for Donald Trump and for Thursday night at midnight for Hillary Clinton. It's Trump Wednesday and I'm with Thursday Thursday.
I like it.
Or Hillary's
trademark that. You need a lawyer to trademark it. Let me know. It's really slow right now.
But so much has happened since last Wednesday that I don't think I can really wait. I don't even know where to begin.
It changes every hour.
It's so crazy. Okay, you mentioned a couple things, but you didn't even mention off the air. We were talking about him tweeting at 3:20 in the morning about Alicia Machado and go look at sex tapes, which whoever thought we would have a presidential candidate who encouraged you to go look at porn? I don't know. And then what people found out was that possibly he was in a softcore porn,
but completely like dressed. It was like some random thing,
right?
But yeah, anything for publicity. I mean,
I don't. But
I mean, who hasn't been fully dressed in a softcore porn?
I mean,
those
at
who
some point
those
dressed.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we all
whether
have.
Amateur or professional. I mean, like sometimes you just want to have a cameo. You know, you try to get your SAG card, whatever it takes.
Those who throw stones should
get bigger stones.
I was in a buddy movie with Eric Roberts.
Yeah,
it was a little soft. No, I'm just
kidding. So that was Friday, and that could have really been just the talk of Monday. But instead, a envelope ends up in a New York Times reporter's mailbox, and that was. I believe last weekend, like on Saturday, it was 8 days before the story broke. There were 8 days that passed between the envelope arriving in a reporter's mailbox to the day that they broke the story on NewYorkTimes.com.
And they're still investigating more stuff, by the way. They got other stuff, too, they said yesterday. A New York Times reporter, they said they're waiting because they're doing their due diligence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't.
No, I didn't. Was it in that envelope or more envelopes?
Different envelopes. And also on my way here, at least I don't know the source, but I read that they think Marla Maples might have been the one.
Wow,
really?
I texted at my own station today because Anna DeVlantes and Ro Khan were talking about this. And Anna DeVlantes, who's a reporter, was saying, you know, this could be illegal. They broke laws. But what if it was Marla and she signed those income tax returns? Oh. Can she legally have been the one that released them?
I don't know.
Texting at Anna.
If it was 95, she was married to him back then? And if they did a joint
tax return, then she has could
she
have
actually
done that.
Actually, if that's the case, if they did file joint taxes, they can get his taxes up until I think she was married to him until 1999.
So this is what I'm saying.
There's how you get it,
right? That's
someone's got, but she's probably got so many confidentiality orders that he made her sign after their divorce.
At what point is your country more important than the confidentiality? I mean, like,
or if someone's going to be willing to pay her, if someone like says, yeah, you're going to get sued, but we'll pay all your legal fees just to do it. I mean, the guy from LinkedIn is like totally against Trump and he wants him to do it. He offered $5 million to anyone that could, to donate $5 million to any troops, organization. If, somebody gets, Trump's taxes.
Here, Lance wants to join the conversation. Hi, Lance. How are you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Pretty good. Yes?
Well, I just want to ask a question about Donald Trump. It seems that the president should manage the country.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like his people are trying to manage him.
Right.
They have to keep reeling him in. They have
trying
to keep him in this box. They have to make sure he don't say certain things. Why don't anybody want a president that you have to manage?
Right.
This guy can't control himself, so he has to have people to control him. What type of president would he be, or how could he even make decisions when he can't even control his own personality?
Lance, from what I've heard from listeners, they're angry. These are the answers that I get from a lot of people, and I'm sure some of them will text or call and tell you why they want him. They will tell you it's because they don't like the direction the country's going.
Yeah.
They don't want illegal immigrants. They don't want refugees from Syria. They feel like their piece of the pie is getting smaller, even though, and this is the other thing, is that people were saying that, well, you know, Donald Trump took advantage of the tax system, and, well, that was created by the Clintons. Actually, it was during Reaganomics, if you remember, trickle down. But anyway, Lance, that's why they're saying that they want change. They want an outsider. They want someone who runs a good business. I'm just giving you some of those answers. Have you heard that too, Lance?
Taxes are from 1995.
I understand all of those answers that they give, but you have to have somebody who can do these things. This man has shown he has no self-control. He can't. I mean, when you have to, it's like a baby. You have to, make sure the baby don't say this. Make sure the baby don't say that. Make sure the baby don't do this. Keep the baby. Let's keep the baby.
Babies
safe.
Can't
let's
tweet
behind
for
the
door
record. So that, let's take his phone away so he can't tweet. This is insane.
It is.
I mean, I understand totally what people are saying. They want all of these changes. But at the same time, you have to have someone who can produce it. He can't produce his own language. How could he produce anything else?
I agree with you, Lance. I don't understand it at all. And this is the candidate that has come down the pipe over the last year.
It's the voice of change.
Well, the bar is set so low. The bar is set so low now. Until people, they just settling now. We just want a job and not to get blown up. That's what they want for the president these days. That's a shame.
Lance, did you see that the former head of Homeland Security and also Tom Ridge and Paul
Chertoff.
Thank you. Yeah, Paul Chertoff. Both say they are going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
If the Wolfowitz too, right?
If the people who have been in charge and Republicans who have been in charge of our security are voting for Hillary Clinton, and Paul Chertoff was one of her criminal prosecutors in Whitewater,
right?
And he says he's voting for her.
Tom Ridge is a Republican, lifetime Republican from Pennsylvania.
Yes,
which is like a
state. And a lot of those guys are war hawks too. Yeah. And they don't trust this gentleman. And Hillary makes a good point. I hope she keeps making this point. Is do you want someone at the button of the nuclear bomb who a tweet can set off?
That's right.
And that says it all right there. If a tweet can set you off to make you lose control, do you really want this man the head of a U.S. military or the nuclear warhead?
Yeah.
You know, it's
didn't
insane.
A war start like that?
People thinking.
We don't know. We don't. We.
That was War Games.
I've spent a year and a few months trying to figure all of this out, and
it's crazy.
I thought, wasn't there one of the major wars started when somebody insulted someone's wife or a king's wife? Isn't that World War One?
That was when
I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, let's
guess.
We'll Google that. We can Google that. Lance, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Hey, Lance, can I send you Lance, hold on one second. Lance, can I send you? Can I send you? Can I send you a Lou Malnati's pizza? Just for a snack.
Oh, yes, you can.
All right, hold on the line. Craig will take your information. We're going to send out a Lou Malnati's gift card to Lance. He just wants to know why, what?
A gift card. I wasn't sure if you were sending him a pizza, just straight up.
Straight up. Go to loumalnati.com so we can. Maybe what we all need is a pizza, a nice big slice of cheesy, delicious pizza. Mm. Go to loumalnati.com or go to one of their over 40 locations in the Chicagoland area. I need to send some pizza to my friend Mark DiCarlo out in L.A. because he's going to be watching a lot of Cubs games, and I know he likes to drink his old style and have his Lou Malnati's. Good stuff.
Two out of three of those things I agree with.
What, old style?
I don't like old style, but it's great beer.
Is it
a sponsor?
It's more of a nostalgia thing.
I mean, it's amazing.
I'm sure that what some of the people are calling or texting about, I would gather, is that people absolutely cannot vote for Hillary. They think that this is the worst of two. You know, we have to choose the lesser of two evils. But what does it say again when Paul Chertoff, when Tom Ridge, when Wolfowitz? These are.
I think it's going to come down to. I think George W. Bush is going to endorse Hillary. And once you have that, you have every current sitting president.
I thought that already happened.
George W. H. Bush was reported to have somebody.
Right.
And then Jeb was mad that she shared that conversation. But
is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So publicly, they have to publicly endorse. I don't know if that would help either, because
I think it would.
I think that a lot of and here's the thing. And those of you who are going to vote for Trump, I am aware that I cannot change your mind.
Nothing will change their minds.
I'm completely aware of that. For people who are on the fence, I think that those are the people that are torn. They really hate both of these candidates. And there are people who hate Hillary who are still going to vote for her. I don't know if there are people who hate Trump. I mean, I guess they have to hate Hillary more than Trump to vote for Trump.
A lot of people are not. I know a lot of Republicans who are just not going to vote. They were going to vote for Gary Johnson, but then he started saying some.
He started speaking.
He had a couple Aleppo moments. Yeah. So I think that. I don't know. But I did see before I came on there was a report at CNN where they were going to talk to people going to a Trump rally, and nothing will change their mind.
No, nothing.
This tax thing is not you know, it's not going to change their
mind. Not the tax thing, not the fact that former heads of our security.
They're like super fans.
Right, but the people who know, I mean, because a lot of people say that she can't keep us safe because of the way she handled the aftermath of Benghazi, because Hillary Clinton actually, in fact, was not in charge of the security and what happened during the attack, but how she handled the aftermath and the story and how that was
spun.
How it was spun. And that's the thing is that, I've asked this before, why do we need to know everything right away, right? Like, there's nothing that we can do. And I don't, it has to be reported. They have to let people know what's going on. But they also have to sort of, there has to be some sort of coverage globally, right, to have that conversation in front of a microphone. So that's just one of the things. History is at your fingertips with Google. Right, but we're in the middle of a conversation, so it's harder. So did you want
to... I did look it up. I was wrong about the slander thing. It was an assassination.
Yeah.
Archduke Ferdinand.
Yeah, but wasn't it like someone they assassinated? There was some insult that was slurred somewhere in one war, or it might have just been a movie. I'm not sure. I get my history and movie mixed up. I never claim to know the difference.
I love this texter demands an answer like immediately. You could have Googled it. Although,
is that my mom?
Why don't they Google it?
It's a 773. Yeah, 773.
The energy it takes to type, why don't you Google it?
Why don't you Google it?
Well, it's harder on my phone. Insult that started a... Is that what we're going with? Insult that started a war? Hold on a second. I'm going to go. If they wanted me to Google, this listener in the 773 has forced me to just Google it. All in the Family, Five Wars Waged on Insults.
I got that, too.
You got that one, too.
I think it's the Franco-Prussian War.
Yeah.
That's what came up for me when I put an insult throne causes war.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Then we're going to.
So at least part of my, I was accurate about one thing, because both of that, yeah, something like that.
I love that the anger came that we weren't Googling it and not that we didn't know
history. Sorry, 773, for not using Google properly.
For not being
That's my fault.
Quicker.
Please don't take it out on Patty.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't directed necessarily at me. It was just a general.
I was the one that brought out
You were the one that elicited the text. Yeah. Thank you. Let's see what we have from the 815. Hey, Joe, World War I started. Some count was assassinated. See, we're all like general answers. Some count was assassinated. Besides, don't think that easy to launch nukes just because president angry. So he's saying that the president cannot launch the nukes just because he's angry.
But you can
destroy international relationships. Yeah. You can actually you can launch a nuke because there are things you could say that will cause other people's other places.
You're going to get another message now that says it's people, not peoples. Google it.
More after this.
Nebulous.
Hoarder.
Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good.
You're listening pretty late. 312-981-7200 if you want to tell me something good. Comedian James Vickery, do you have something good to tell me?
I do. You know, I went to the dentist for the first time in a few years Friday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You don't want to tell us how many years that is?
I just don't know. Probably 3-4 years.
Okay.
So I went in a little nervous. I was expecting a lecture of many kinds,
which is common, yeah.
And I was great. He was very non-judgmental. Peter Drahouse there in Brookfield, Illinois.
Drahouse.
And he said, "I'm doing what I'm doing."
Do you brush and floss?
I do. I'm not a religious flosser, but as I told him, and I may have exaggerated the truth a bit here, but I said I'm consistent a few times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more or less true.
That's more than average population.
Probably. I think I'm above average flosser.
Okay.
And I do it with a lot of grace.
So those of you who are...
Grace is important.
How do you do it gracefully? I use so much floss, my husband thinks that I'm repelling out of our bedroom window.
Do you do it every night?
Every night, yeah.
Kristen does too, yeah.
I can't go to sleep unless I feel a little bit of pressure between my teeth.
Me too, but I don't
know. Well, congratulations.
Thank
that is good
you.
News.
It was great news at the dentist.
And I think that's encouraging for other people right now who are listening. Don't be afraid. Go to your dentist. Get that checked out because it's important.
And then he did a cleaning. It felt great after. He gave me some toothpaste to take home. It was awesome.
You get a swag bag from the dentist. It's kind of a nice thing. Mm-hmm. I like that. You get a gift.
He put condoms in there. It was weird.
That is weird.
I'm just kidding. He did not. Peter Drouse did not.
You're going to get an angry text
now. I'm
going
to get an angry text.
Wait, is it
Peter? No, he really is my favorite.
Is
I went
Drouse
to his dad.
Or Drahouse?
Drahouse.
Drahouse.
I went to his dad when I was a kid, and he's a great family of dentists.
Well, there you go. That's a good endorsement of Dentist Drahouse. Mm-hmm. Paul, tell me something good.
I am headed to sunny Phoenix to do some shows out at the House of Comedy there this week. I'm going to miss the Cubs, but I'll watch it there. And I got a tattoo of a microphone on my arm last week. I said I was going to do it after a while.
It also looks like a guitar.
Yeah, it's already regret it. You know what? If you're going to get a tattoo, you might as well regret it right away.
Well, I think that's a good choice because the other kind of handheld microphones could look a little phallic.
Yeah, I had it designed and I saw that one. I was like, no, that's going to look like something else.
Yeah,
and
like a dingle on your arm, right.
Dingle is a better word for it. But yeah, I said I would get it after a certain goals I hit as a comic and I did that. And I have Esquire on my other arm, which is to remind me I'm a lawyer.
Oh, in case you forget.
In case I forget or I'm about to do something stupid, I just look at my arm. So they're just kind of the yin and the yang.
What's the origin of Esquire for lawyer?
It's Latin for lawyer.
Is it? Oh, well, really? Done.
I'm not sure. We should have to. Probably should Google that, too, because I have no faith in anything I say anymore. But no, it is. You have to disclose that you're a lawyer sometimes. So a lot of lawyers will do Paul Farivar, attorney at law, or you'll say Paul Farivar, Esquire. Oh. And I used to always do Esquire. My friends made fun of me. So they I'm like, yeah.
If it's Latin for a lawyer, how long have lawyers been around?
Oh, God, I should Google this.
Yeah. While you Google that.
It is a Latin word for, I think it's Latin for law.
Oh, for law. That makes
sense. Well, let me just look.
Yeah,
that
no, now. I can't. God, no. None of that seems to be. It's usually a courtesy title. No, I'm not finding Esquire is Latin for law.
It's a title apprehended to a lawyer surname. Okay. Thank you. God, thank God I got that right this time. I'm one for two.
Okay.
So
etymology. I'm going to look for etymology. That'll help me with the origin.
I already found it. Did you not Google it?
Does it say Latin?
Oh, it doesn't say. Oh, you that part you don't trust. But
I like the magazine, too. It's pretty good.
And it almost looks like the same script. So I get that a lot. Like, are you a fan of the
magazine?
Just
that big of a fan.
Like, yeah, I get a lifetime of subscriptions.
From Old French. From Old French. Esquire. I don't know if you say either one of those properly.
I like that you made the face of a French person.
don't tell people what that face looks like. a shield bearer, armor bearer, squire of a knight. From Latin squitarius. Shield bearer from Latin scutum, shield, all the shields to cover, I guess. So law is supposed to cover. Is it law uses a shield?
We didn't cover that in law school, but I do know that it's Latin for lawyer somehow.
It's Latin for shield.
Well, we can agree to disagree all we want.
Esmeralda, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to grab you while you were mid eating. Do you have anything good to tell us?
Oh, that thing. I forgot about that. I didn't hear the music. I was singing that Home Solution song.
Much better.
She was watching cats play piano. Yes, I saw it.
That happens.
Something good. I ordered takeout.
Yay. Oh. What'd you order?
For dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
That's today.
Just good. Now.
Just it's there. An it just hour arrived.
Ago. Like an hour or two ago.
Sometimes you can tell me if you're hungry. You can I'll order some Grubhub.
Oh, that's fine.
All right. That's fine. Vic Vaughn.
I don't want to trouble you.
Up in news. He's no trouble, Esmeralda. Do you want to tell something good?
Yeah, you know what? It's going to be a little bit warm again. It's been kind of cool and cloudy, but we're supposed to get like in the 70s again, near 80 tomorrow. So if you like hot weather, there's some good stuff.
All right, that is good. That's I kind of settled into
I was into
boots
the sweater
and sweater weather.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
I was already
I wore
there.
A sweater yesterday. I know.
I know. It's kind of nice. Although I think it's going to be flexible, right?
According to Google, you're wrong. It's actually 77 tomorrow. I wanted to say now I'm relying on Google.
One listener. See, hey, that's the thing. Is
got
now
in
we
your head.
Google
yeah.
your own news. Apparently, that we're doing.
I think I said near 80. Run that tape back.
Near 80. Yeah, he did say
what's near 80.
Tape back. I have to say I kind of like that Donald Trump took the lid off my self-imposed moratorium on talking about him, because anyone who tweets at 3:20 in the morning about a former Miss Universe and the videos that are here's why it is strange to me, because I didn't realize that everybody else wasn't aware of this story. Esmeralda, I know that you're significantly younger than I am. Had you heard about this story about Alicia Machado before last week?
No, I totally remember. It was a big thing.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, in the Latin American.
They're
like,
still talking about
news.
It, right? In the Latin American.
Well, whenever
news.
She comes
whenever she shows up, because she used to be in a bunch of, she was in a couple soap operas and stuff too. Right. So every time you'd be like, oh yeah, she was Miss Universe or whatever, and Trump, blah, 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 called her fat.
Not just that, but he humiliated her repeatedly. He would have like press conferences in the gym while she was working out with a trainer. The trainer was like, we're going to have her looking feminine, and we're going to get, you know, we're going to get her to a healthy 125 to 130, even though Trump wanted her to be 118. So that everyone's like, oh, this is out of nowhere. No, this is to me who he has always been.
Right.
It was never like that he called her Miss Housekeeping. Esmeralda, and I don't know how. Okay.
No,
I wonder how it sparked though at 3:20. Was he like lying in bed?
Yeah.
And he's just like, that Alicia Machado! And then just
got all mad again.